But you may be seated. I'm going to ask my mother-in-law if you don't mind. Mom, was that very loud for you? She just got new hearing aids this week. And when she got them on, my wife pulled her zipper up and it bothered her hearing. So she was able to hear much better. So was that too loud for you? No? Okay. It was just loud up here in the front. So I just, because I don't know if she knows how to adjust them yet, is why I'm asking that question. Okay. If you have your Bibles, turn to Luke chapter 2 and then turn on your back of your, what's the, like the bulletin there in the back is the handouts for today, and you can fill in some of the blanks. But we're in Luke chapter 2. We should have been done this last week, but if you remember, we had 3 weeks ago, we had the power outage and had the low temperatures in the sanctuary, so we canceled church that day, and we had to put our 5 A's of Christmas on hold. So I was, again, planning on starting a series on our annual stewardship. So because of being a week behind, we're just going to do a one-week message next week on stewardship and what does giving mean? How do we support the church? How do we give to the Lord? 2 weeks from now will be Sanctity of Life Sunday, and we're going to have a message on sanctity of human life. And then 3 weeks, we'll be back to our series in Ephesians. And then we'll go through that until we finish that series up and praying for God's direction for what we're going to do next. But again, next week will be stewardship. 2 weeks will be sanctity of life. And then this is all in God's timing, obviously. But that's the plan as of now. Well, we're finishing up the 5 A's of Christmas with Anna and Simeon. We looked at the announcement from Isaiah and Micah in the Old Testament. We looked at the angels and their part in the series, or in the birth of Christ. We looked at the anticipation of his arrival. Last week we looked at his arrival, and today we're looking at Anna and Simeon. So if you turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 2, I'm not sure if I'm going to read all these verses, but beginning in 20, I think we will have to because it's all part of what we're going to be talking about this morning. But beginning in verse 22 of Luke chapter 2, and when the time for their purification, according to the law of Moses, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. Verse 24, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Verse 25, now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do to him according to the custom of the law, he took them up in his arms and blessed and said, in verse 29 now, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation. They were prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for the revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. Verse 33, and his father and mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many, and for a sign that is opposed, and a sword will pierce your own soul also, so the thoughts of many may be revealed. Verse 36, and there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years from when she was a virgin, and then as a widow until she was 84. She did not depart from the temple, worshiping and fasting and praying night and day. And coming up that very hour, she began to give thanks to God and to speak to him of all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this Christmas series, the things that we've learned, the things we've been reminded of, and just the things that maybe we remembered. We're so grateful, Lord, for the different people you use, but specifically for the baby who came to be born for the sole purpose of dying. Bless our time together in Jesus' name. Amen. When we come to Luke chapter 2, verse 22, it says the time had come for their purification according to the law of Moses. We now see that a little bit of time has passed. Jesus was now 40 days old. That was the specific time that was laid out in Leviticus chapter 12. So the thrill of that first night, the thrill of the shepherds and the announcement, the angels' arrival, and that night in Bethlehem with all that was going on, those were all distant memories now. But a special time for Joseph and Mary and baby Jesus was still ahead, as we're going to look at this morning. And as we read, we see two very special people. I believe, in God's eyes. They were both elderly. Both, we're not told Simeon's age, but we believe it was pretty old. And they could have both been included in that message our first a couple weeks ago of anticipation, because we're told they were both looking for the Messiah. They were both anticipating the Messiah. They were very well aware of the prophecies in the Old Testament. And I laid out, I'll just share it with you. I kept it in my notes because I had 5 points in my original way I was going to do this. I was going to look at Simeon was righteous. Simeon was watching. Simeon prophesied Christ's death. Anna served and worshiped, and Anna was waiting. And I decided to change that, and I wanted to lump them both together and kind of go a different direction and see what did they have in common in revealing the Messiah. So the first thing is, and it's all F's. I try to do that so you can maybe remember the sermons a little bit better. But they were both favored. They were both favored. If you remember the words that the angel greeted Mary back in Luke chapter 2 earlier, when he appeared to Mary, he said, "Greetings, O favored one." Why was Mary favored? When we talked about this when we went through it, Mary found favor in God's eyes, not because she was the most faithful Jewish woman of the day. It's not because she was the most beautiful. It's not because she was the most educated or she was the most wealthy. There wasn't any human reason for God to have chosen Mary above all the other Jewish women who for centuries had been waiting to be the Messiah's mother. But God, in his own wisdom and in his own special way of seeing it, he favored her in his grace and his mercy. And that's what we see happening here. He did the same thing for these two elderly saints. They both found that same favor with God. Now, it's not said in here, but because of what we see happening, we know that they were favored. Simeon was revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he was not going to die until he saw the Messiah. So God had chosen to give him this message for some reason. We don't know why. And both the ESV, what I read from, and the King James Version say that he was watching for something. It says the consolation of Israel. That's what Simeon was watching and waiting for. He was waiting for this consolation of Israel. And that literally means the comfort of Israel. He was looking for the salvation solution that his world needed. And you know what? There's a lot of people today who are looking for a salvation solution in our world, aren't they? They're not looking at the Bible. They're not looking at Christians to tell them what we know and what we believe. But they're looking for it. Whether it's drugs, it's sex, it's wealth. It's all the stuff the world offers, which is just going to lead them to hell. But there are people who are looking for this salvation solution. Simeon knew it. Simeon knew it hadn't come yet, but he believed it was on its way. So they were looking specifically for something. Anna, we're told, we know her age, says she was 84 years old. She had been faithfully serving and worshiping and praying in the temple because she was, we're told, waiting for the redemption of Israel. And we'll talk about that a little bit more. But we ask the question, why were they favored? Were Simeon and Anna the only ones who were watching? Were they just the most respected people in Jerusalem? Were they the oldest people? Did they just happen to be at the right place in the right time that day that Mary and Joseph arrived with the baby? No. We believe that they found God's favor, again, according to God's discretion. There's a lot of people in Scripture that God selected for a very special moment. Was David, Moses, just think of all the people in the Old Testament, and Paul, and Peter, and all the disciples that he chose. They were to bear witness to Christ's arrival and to Christ's message. And I do believe that Anna and Simeon were special, but not according to man's standards. We would look at someone and say, oh, they're very educated, let's use them. Or they're very wealthy, they can really give to the church. Or they have this great persona about them, great personalities, and a lot of people love them, a lot of people respect them. That's not God's way of doing things. Remember, God told Samuel, man sees the outward appearance, I look at the heart. And that's, we don't know why God favored Anna and Simeon, what he did, but it was to accomplish God's will and to be a messenger of God's grace and mercy. Second is they were focused. They were focused. If you just read through Luke chapter 2, beginning of verse 22, you just read through the story, you see some focus. But if you read it and think about it, you understand that their focus was laser sharp. It was very specific. We're told that Simeon is righteous and devout, and he was waiting. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel. For many years, he served the Lord faithfully. And we don't know all that he did, but he was righteous. And I thought, wouldn't that be awesome to have said at my funeral? Wouldn't you love to have that said about you at your funeral? Not that you're thinking about your funeral. I don't mean that. But I would love to have it said, Ron Hagee, when the pastor gets up and speaks, whoever does my funeral, he was righteous. He was devout. He was a devoted husband. He was a devoted father. He was a devoted pastor. He loved his people. He loved his kids. He was devoted to the Lord. That's what is said about Simeon. He was devout, and he was looking for, he was waiting for this promised Messiah, and he knew he wasn't going to die until he saw it. But I want you to stop for a minute and think about what was Simeon looking for. I think I have this all in your notes, some of the things. What do you think some things he might have been looking for? Do you think he was looking for a mighty king to come? Do you think he was looking for this mighty and powerful warrior? Remember Isaiah, he knew the scripture, the government's going to be on his shoulder. So Simeon may have been looking for this warrior to come about, this intimidating presence that was going to strike fear into the heart of the Roman people. And Simeon might have been waiting for that, thinking this is going to fulfill scripture, this powerful giant of a man, this Messiah who's going to bear all of Israel's sins and carry all of our struggles and all of our problems. But what did he see? He didn't see a mighty warrior. He didn't see an intimidating presence. He didn't see a powerful earthly king. He saw a baby. He saw a 40-day-old baby. And I want you to think about Simeon. We're not told that he was surprised. I would have been. If you were waiting for the Messiah, this one who's going to redeem Israel, and you're a faithful, devoted Jew, you would have been hoping for some powerful person. It again reminds me of It's a Wonderful Life. Remember when Clarence comes to George Bailey and he says, "I'm your guardian angel," and George says something like, "Yeah, I figured that's the type of angel I'd get." Imagine Simeon might have been thinking, this isn't the Messiah I was waiting for. This isn't the person, this presence that I was anticipating. But I want you to notice, he does not miss the occasion, does he? Simeon did not miss God's blessing. He saw this person, this God in human form. And I want you to understand, salvation is not an action. Salvation is a person. And that person is Christ. And Simeon was so focused, but he did not miss the person that God sent. As for Anna, we see that Anna had served in the temple and prayed for years. We're told that she had been married for 7 years. It says from the time she was a virgin. So she was probably, many people believe, just like Mary was a young teenager, 13, 14. Anna might have been a teenager too, 13, 14, 15 years old. She was married 7 years. So people believe that she became a widow at about 22, 23 years old and then was serving for 60 years plus in the temple. She was certainly focused on what was going on. She wasn't a paid staff person, by the way. I want you to understand that. She wasn't the woman's head of prayer and fasting. She did this on her own. She wasn't paid for it. She did it because she loved the Lord. She loved God. And what was it she was praying for? Do we know? No, we don't. We're not told, but we don't think she was praying for a new husband. She didn't go every day and say, "God, please give me a new husband. I need a man in my life." We're not told that she was praying that the government would take care of her because she deserved it, entitled to it. If you watched the Penn State game yesterday, they had a lot of players opt out of playing in their bowl game. And ESPN, the guys who were announcing, I rewatched that, and these guys were all former football players in college, and they just blasted these Penn State players for choosing to opt out. And they were saying, so many young people today and college students have a sense of entitlement that we deserve everything we're getting. They're thinking of their career in the NFL rather than the college that gave them the break to play. And they were saying, young people today just don't have the love of the game that we had 15, 20 years ago. And that's all true. But the point is that they're not focusing on the game. They didn't care if the college won or lost yesterday in the bowl games. They were just concerned about their own career. Anna was not praying for herself. She wasn't praying for God's blessing and God's provision. A family certainly would have taken care of her financially a little bit better. But she was waiting for the redemption of Israel, of Jerusalem. She was praying for the salvation of her own people. She wasn't distracted by the stuff in the world. She was focused on other people. As I was preparing this, I was thinking, I had a mother who prayed, and one of the things I'm so proud of her about, she's gone now, one of the things when I think about my mom is her service for other people. A lot of things that her and I didn't agree on. I told you she was so old-fashioned. She thought that, and again, maybe some of you are that way too, but she would be very upset when she came to our church, whatever church I served in at the time, if men weren't wearing a coat and tie to serve communion. If anybody was up in church with jeans on, if women wear pants to church, she was irate. She just thought that was her statement. I know I've said this to you, is her statement was always, they would not dress like that to go see the President of the United States. Well, maybe today's presidents they would. But back when she was alive, they wouldn't have done that. They wouldn't have done that with President Reagan or whoever that she loved. Her and I didn't always agree on everything. But I tell you one thing, she had a focus on people. When my dad died, my dad was serving the Lord. The day he died, he was serving the Lord. But she was always out visiting nursing homes. When she remarried a very godly man, a pastor, they did Bible study together, and she played piano for that. She was, like I said, always visiting the nursing home because she said, if I ever go to a nursing home, I want people to visit me. And I've talked to Evelyn about this. She just cried about people being lonely in nursing homes, but she was focused on people. If you could have seen her prayer list, I don't know how long it was, but it was just page after page, and she prayed through that at least twice a day. And my kids used to laugh at her because she'd be down on her knees in the morning. They'd still be in bed. They could hear Grandma out there praying, and on her knees praying. And I told you, when I was a young person, I walked past her room one day, and she prayed that prayer, Lord, if Ronnie is ever going to bring dishonor to you, to your name, take him home now. I'll tell you, when you're a 7 or 8 year old kid and you hear your mom praying that you die if you're going to be bad, that kind of wakes you up a little bit. But I want to tell you, she had a heart for the Lord and she had a heart for others. And that's what Anna was that way. Anna loved the Lord. Anna loved people. And she was not concerned for her own well-being. She wasn't asking, I don't believe, for personal miracles. She was praying for the salvation of her nation. And folks, you and I need to do that because our nation needs the Lord. Mark just prayed that this morning as we prayed together before the service. Just if people would turn to you, that'd be the answer to the problems, wouldn't it? Our nation needs the Lord. People need the Lord. And someone said this, there are those who seek the hand of God and those who seek the face of God. Simeon and Anna are the latter. So the seeking the hand of God is, what God can you give me? Seeking the face of God is saying, God, I want to honor you. God, I want to serve you. I want to be used by you. They were focused. Then the final one is they were faithful. Both of them were faithful in their service to the Lord. We don't know how long Simeon had been serving the Lord. We don't know how long he had been waiting. We don't know how long he had been devoted and faithful to the Lord and devout and righteous. But I'm sure it was a long life of serving God. Anna, we do know that she had been waiting for at least 60 years. That is faithfulness. That is serving the Lord faithfully. There are a lot of books written about Mother Teresa's quotes. And again, I'm not a huge Mother Teresa fan, but I mean, she served the Lord, and I believe she was a very good woman. Whether she knew the Lord, I don't know. But she was visited in Calcutta by a United States senator years ago. And as he walked around where she was ministering, she ministered to the handicapped, those with all kinds of different sicknesses and things, and his stomach turned. He was actually sickened by what he saw in Calcutta. And he said these words, he said, "Mother Teresa, how can you bear this load without being crushed?" And Mother Teresa's, the quote says, she said, "My dear senator, I wasn't called to be successful. I was called to be faithful." Every time I read a missionary newsletter, and I trust that you do that, we post those, read through them sometime, you will be blessed and you'll get a sense of faithfulness to the call that God has placed upon these missionaries' lives. They are serving the Lord in sometimes very difficult circumstances. The crews, when they were in Chad, they told the story when they were here a few years ago, right outside their house was the Muslim temple, and they said they could hear the call to prayer 7 times a day, and people would walk past, and they said what a opportunity of ministry they saw, but they were in danger all the time. Where they're serving now, our missionaries, the Talmans and many others are serving very, very dangerous situations. They're raising children in dangerous situations as well. And a lot of times these missionaries will serve in work that is very slow, it's very tedious, and they don't see a lot of results. William Carey is considered the father of missions, and he served for 7 years before he saw his first Hindu convert. I have missionary friends who I've talked to, and they've said as they've gotten into the work, as they maybe were the first ones there in a country, I know the Talmans kind of experienced this as well. Their mission board kind of pressures them because they're not seeing results right away. Some have been serving 2-3 terms, and they hadn't seen a convert yet. Will said how long did they spend translating the Word of God? And how tedious that was. Again, imagine going into a country, into a people group that you don't know any of the language, and you've got to learn everything. So you ask, "What is a tree?" And you might think they're giving you the word for tree, and they might be giving you the word for branch, or they might be giving you the word for something past the tree. And you've got to learn all that. And imagine having to learn every word and put that down in the writing and make sure you have it right, and then translate that from the English that you know into the language that these people know. Tedious, tedious work. And these missionaries serve the Lord. You can read stories of missionaries who have served for years and not seen any results. Because we want results today, don't we? We want them right now. And we don't want to wait for God to bless us. We want recognition for the service as well. And I wonder, do you think Anna and Simeon worried about recognition? Do you think they were concerned about the results? For Anna, her lifelong dedication to God has finally arrived, and she was able to see the Messiah. And you know what it did? That didn't see, "Oh, my work's done." If you read that story, and I did read it, it says she now had a new passion. She didn't just want to see the Messiah. She wasn't just looking to see the Messiah arrive. It says now she went out to tell all who would listen that the Messiah is here. The arrival of the Messiah changed her and it impacted her and it impacted others as well. John Wesley was a great preacher in the 1700s, and he had a heart for ministry and people. And again, you can find statistics here, but I've read his books and his writing. He rode a horse every day, 15 to 20 miles to go out and preach. It's estimated he rode 250,000 miles in his lifetime. And it's estimated he preached over 42,000 sermons in his lifetime. And he preached right up to the final month of his death at 88 years old. This was written about John Wesley's passion. Wesley felt that the church failed to call sinners to repentance, that many of the clergy were corrupt, and that people were perishing in their sins. He believed he was commissioned by God to bring about revival in the church, and no opposition, persecution, or obstacles could prevail against this divine urgency and authority of his commission. the prejudices of the high church, which the church was over, he was working under, the prejudices of his high church training, his strict notions of the methods and properties of public worship, his views of apostolic succession, and the prerogatives of the priesthood, even his most cherished convictions, were not allowed to stand in the way of God's calling. My wife's family was here for Christmas, and my brother-in-law and his wife had gone to the Billy Graham Library. We went there a couple years ago, and it's just such a blessing to go and see that and walk through that, I would call sacred grounds almost, of a man who I loved and respected so much. But they went there, and just they said they went to a Christmas light show that was all around the library, and they just said how beautiful it was. But Billy Graham was another one who was called, and he was very faithful in his service. Hudson Taylor, the missionary to Chinese, many of these ones I could give you names, they were recognized for their service. But think about all the people, and a lot of people in a Billy Graham library, he showed pictures of people who made all of his crusades happen. People, hundreds and maybe thousands of people praying throughout the week of a campaign, on their knees praying in a tent while he was over in the other tent or in the stadium ministering. They were praying for his work, these unrecognized servants. There were miracles that only God can perform. We understand that. And that's what Christmas means. It was the human, the creator of the world came in human form, as we just sang, Emmanuel, God with us. Christ took on human form and offered the world forgiveness. We might not be a Billy Graham. You and I might not call to be a Hudson Taylor or a missionary to the world, but we are called to be an Anna and Simeon. We are called to be serving the Lord. Neither of these worry about their recognition. They just remain faithful. But God may not call you to be Billy Graham, but he has called you to be an Anna and Simeon, to be focused, to be faithful. And I believe then we will find his favor in our lives. God will use us. God will bless us. And God will allow us to see folks come to Christ. We might not see all the results, but our impact can change the world. And we need to be focusing on the message that God has given us daily to live out in the world around us. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for Anna and Simeon. I thank you for their faithfulness to you. I thank you that they were so focused and they were so faithful that they found your favor. Lord, I pray that the folks from Draper Baptist Church would have those same results. Lord, we will be so focused on the work that you've called us to do that we will be faithful in doing it. And then, Lord, we will find your favor as we serve you. I pray, Lord, as we come to the communion table now, that we would focus on the cross and we would focus on the empty tomb. And Lord, I pray that you would be glorified in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.